DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The Federal Reserve is set to kick off its two-day policy meeting today. It's expected to raise interest rates again in another move to curb historic inflation. Analysts predict a 0.25% hike, the eighth increase in a row. Quick action against others believed to be involved in the Tyree Nichols deadly beating in Memphis. More officers, EMTs, and fire officials either are fired or relieved of duty, on top of the five officers who were initially terminated and then criminally charged.
The Memphis Fire Department says two EMTs, Jamichael Sandridge and Robert Long, and their lieutenant, Michelle Whitaker, have been fired after failing to adequately assess Nichols on the scene after he was brutally beaten January 7th, dying 3 days later at the hospital.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Tens of millions of Americans in 30 states are on alert for cold, ice, and snow. Some areas are bracing for up to 0.75 inches of ice, fueling fears of power outages in vulnerable states. This is ABC News. Prosecutors in New Mexico are expected to officially file involuntary manslaughter charges today in connection with the deadly shooting on the set of the movie Rust. They've already announced their intentions to charge actor Alec Baldwin, who was holding the gun, and the movie's armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed. Brazil's former leader, who lost in his re-election bid, now says he wants to stay in the U.S. for a while longer.
Former Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro has applied for a six-month tourism visa here in the U.S., according to his attorney. Bolsonaro has been living in Orlando, Florida, and the tourism visa would allow him to stay in the country now that his official visa as head of state is no longer valid. This as protests continue in Brazil, with some claiming the election was stolen from Bolsonaro with no evidence to back it up. Bolsonaro posted a video in front of his Orlando home over the weekend defending his presidency, adding that he never did anything against the Constitution.
That's ABC's Lionel Moise. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Temperatures in the double digits below zero last night are still creating challenges in Wisconsin today. Car batteries, tires, and antifreeze can be compromised by temperatures that cold. Police recommend people not leave their cars alone with the engine running. That leaves you vulnerable to someone stealing anything inside your car or driving off with the vehicle. A complaint has been filed against Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Janet Protasiewicz. The complaint alleges Protasiewicz is violating Wisconsin's Code of Judicial Conduct by talking about her positions on issues like abortion, same-sex marriage, and redistricting. Those issues might come before the high court. A UW law professor tells the State Journal Protasiewicz has not crossed any lines. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you, your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app. Are you an experienced maintenance technician? Do you wish you felt valued at your current position? If you answered yes to both questions, then say yes to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo rarely has maintenance openings. Most employees have been there more than 14 years, but PepsiCo is hiring right now and has three openings for experienced maintenance technicians. As a global top employer 3 years in a row, PepsiCo pays way above average, and you can't beat the benefits. Free continuing education, tuition reimbursement, and an account balance pension plan, legit free money from the company to you. Plus, PepsiCo is committed to reducing the global carbon footprint through a PEP-positive corporate responsibility program. You're invited to the PepsiCo Job Fair on Wednesday, February 1st from 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Find more information at PepsiCoJobs.com or call 1-800-236-3720.
Are you dreading going into work every day? Do you want a career where you can earn more and feel appreciated? If you answered yes, then Sigma Castings, a division of Sigma Engineered Solutions in Marcus Ann and Jackson, is your answer. They are more than a company. They are a family of dedicated experts that span the continents. Here are a few ways they make you feel appreciated. Entry-level pay is $18 an hour with regular performance reviews. After 90 days, you get 80 hours of vacation plus 11 paid holidays. They will give you a $2,000 sign-on, stay-on bonus. They offer a robust benefit package with low premiums and great coverage, and their 401k will blow you away. Now hiring first shift, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. till 2 p.m. Start your new career today at Sigma Castings in Marquezan and Jackson. Find them on Indeed or call 920-260-8560 and wake up happy to go to work.
Push our button and we might just push yours. Civic Media.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I just want to share with you before I bring my next guest on. I've had an opportunity to interview a lot of different people in a lot of different instances over the years, and with courage. And, the woman that I'm bringing on next is as courageous a person as I've ever met or had an opportunity to dialogue with, especially over the airways. And, you know, none of us get through this life without having our hearts broken in some way, shape, or form. But it's what you do after the tragedies that occur in our lives. And all of us, none of us are going to get out of this life without having to deal with something in the way of a tragedy. That is part of the human experience and human condition. But sometimes those things can be avoided. Other times, they can't. But in this instance, I want to bring, and I talked about this, I think it was week before last or last week, a young man, 19 years old at the time, named Cade Reddington, a student at UWM with his whole life ahead of him. And looking to do some wonderful things in his life, and his life was cut short, unfortunately, by fentanyl that he did not know or expect, to happen in his life, and unfortunately took his life before he even had a chance to live. And so his mom, Miss Michelle Coleman, who has handled this as well as anybody could from the standpoint of fighting for his memory, fighting for others who have been impacted and affected by the scourge of fentanyl that is just all over this nation. And I want to introduce you to Miss Michelle Coleman, the mom of Cade Reddington. Good morning to you. How are you?
Hi, Earl. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so honored to have you on the airways. And after our conversation yesterday, I'm even more respectful of who you are. But I want you to begin by talking about your son, Cade, and who he was, and then we'll move from there.
Yeah, Cade was this incredibly spirited child. And Earl, you know what? I'm getting feedback. I can hear myself talking.
Oh, you can.
Is there any way to fix that?
Yeah. Hold on.
Okay.
So, Connor, can you hear me? Okay, let's see if you're fine now. Are you fine now?
Okay, let's try this again. Yes, okay, I'm fine now. Yeah, right. It's hard to talk when you can hear.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
Yes, okay, yeah. So, I mean, Cade from the get-go was just this incredibly spirited child. He was such a bundle of energy. From the very first parent-teacher conference when he was a kindergartner to all through high school, every parent-teacher conference was, well, Cade likes to be really social. He was just the most outgoing kid. He would talk to anybody and everybody and make friends with people so easily. And he was the type of person that when he walked into a room, like the energy in the room would shift. And he'd come in with his big smile, hey, everyone, how's it going? And he just had this really great way of being present with people. And he loved so many different things. He wrestled in high school. He played tennis. Prior to that, he had played football and basketball, had tried all different sports. But, you know, he really ended up being a wrestler and loving wrestling and wrestled on JV and varsity in high school. And he loved snowboarding. He loved skateboarding. He loved his friends. His favorite thing to do was go skateboarding over at Warner Park at sunset and then go to the sunset at Governor's Island with his friends. And he had so many friends, too. They all loved him. He had a way of making friends with anybody. But, you know, Cade wasn't perfect either. He suffered from some depression, and it was never bad enough where he felt suicidal, but... You know, I think one of the things that he started doing was doing some self-medicating to deal with some of his depression.
Which is not uncommon or unusual for young people in a society like the one we have today. It's different than when you and I were young. And so there's so many things. One thing that I always say about, you know, this technological world is that it's opened up a lot of things to young people that they may not be ready for, and we can't. You don't get a chance to protect your child as much as I had an opportunity to protect mine from many of the problems of the world, because technology is and cell phones and all those other things are a big influence on children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, I think where things started for him was when he was in middle school. It was vaping. Mom, everybody's vaping. It's just water. It's not anything. Everybody's doing it. So it was that constant battle of finding them and punishing him and taking his phone away, and you know, it was relentless trying to deal with that vaping. You know, and then I think from there, he probably started trying some marijuana. And I didn't even know about pills. So, he was drinking like a lot of high school students do. And he got into a little bit of trouble with his sports eligibility. And he really wanted to get his sports eligibility back. So he started going to Narcotics Anonymous meetings with a friend his junior year of high school. I was like, why are you going to NA meetings if you're not doing drugs? And he said, oh, it's the same concept. He's like, I just want to stop drinking because I make sure I, you know, don't mess up anymore. So he started going to these NA meetings, and he was so proud of himself. He got his 90-day chip, and he wore it at school, and he was talking to all of his other friends that were dealing with issues and was so supportive. People have showed me messages that he sent to them about just taking it one day at a time, and that's all you got to do, and... You know, just concentrate on what that day is ahead of you. And then COVID hit and, you know, meetings stopped. But I thought we were done with that. I thought that was just the phase that he went through. So when I got that call on November 4th, 2021, that Cade died from a drug overdose, I said, there's no way he wouldn't do that. Like, he knows better. Just, I was, Lord, it was the furthest thing from my mind. He had just been home the weekend before. He came and worked at my business with me all weekend. That night before, I took him back to the Badger bus to take back, to go back to Milwaukee. We had dinner together. He told me how he had just met with his advisor and was going to switch his major to psychology and philosophy because he wanted to go into counseling and drug and alcohol counseling to help other people. He told me how he wanted to travel to Hawaii and travel the world. And I mean, he had plans. He was going to have a huge impact in this world, and he got robbed of that.
So it's safe to say that Cade is not your only child?
Yeah, my other son is Ross, and Ross graduated last spring from UW-Madison, and he is a second lieutenant in the Air Force. He did ROTC at Madison.
So for those of you who are just joining us, I'm joined by Miss Michelle Coleman. She is the mother of Cade Reddington, who is a young man who's gone too soon, who lost his life, I think, what, November 21st?
November 4th. No,
November 4th of last year from a fentanyl overdose. Certainly
not poisoning, yeah.
Poisoning. He did not know that a pill that he took was laced with fentanyl. He's one of thousands and thousands and thousands of young people and others who are impacted and affected by this scourge in this country that unfortunately people are starting to address in many instances too late. But what makes this story so different is that Judge Jennifer Durrell, who is a candidate for the state Supreme Court, her son, these are allegations, has been accused of selling the pill that caused Cade Reddington to lose his life. Again, these are allegations. Nothing has been proven, and his mom, Michelle Coleman, wanted to have some thoughts and to give some backstory to what happened to her son. I think it's critically important that we get that, and before the election that is going to be taking place on February 21st. Listen, we've got to go to a break, and I want you to hang on, Ms. Coleman. We're going to give you your opportunity to paint the picture that is in your heart and is indelibly painted in your heart for the remainder of eternity about what took place. So we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Hey.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very
Wisconsin, slippery
hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, "What, Bobby?"
He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away. I can smell the desperation, Mommy.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I grew up hearing that women are bad with money, but I pay bills and take care of my family, so I'm pretty good with money. And now I'm taking control of my financial future by saving for retirement. Jumpstart your retirement savings at WeSaySaveIt.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maintenance experience? Take it to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo invites you to its job fair Wednesday, February 1st, 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Daytime highs approaching 9 above this afternoon. Under clear skies, southwest winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 above tonight, partly cloudy. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times again tomorrow. Highs level off around 21. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 5 below.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mom of Cade Reddington, a young 19-year-old man with his whole life ahead of him, who unfortunately died on November 4th from a fentanyl poisoning. And we're here because there's some circumstances that surround her son's death and answers that need to be made, and certainly for her and her family. And I'll let you take it from there, Michelle. You start trying to get some answers for your son's loss of life. Let's take it from there.
Yeah, and then just to clarify, Cade was 18 when he passed.
Oh, 18,
he was just
yes.
3 weeks shy. Yeah, he's 3 weeks shy of being 19.
Okay.
So, the day after Cade passed, I had opened my house up to kids who said they wanted to come and give me a hug, and I had probably 50 kids show up at my door. And that was the first time I heard the name Michael Doro. And one of the kids that was out with Cade that night on November 3rd had some details about this Michael Doro. And any bit of information that I got, I would just feed immediately to the police department. So I started, talking to as many kids as I could to piece together what happened and when did he start using drugs again? I didn't know this. Like, how did I not know? And, I interviewed a bunch of the kids. But like I said, I just fed it to the police department and was hoping that they were just going to be doing their work. By the following summer, he passed November, then by the next summer, I was watching this show on Netflix, it's The Pharmacist with Dan Schneider, and it was about a true story about this dad whose son got murdered during a drug deal in New Orleans, and the police weren't doing enough to investigate it, so he took things into his own hands and was able to solve his own son's case. So I got inspired by that. So I was like, I'm sick of waiting. I'm going to just, do my own interviews and, re-look into this. So I invited all, kids who had information back and took really good notes this time and gathered up pictures that I had and everything and, again, submitted that to the police. But the story that comes out is really what Dan Bice wrote in his Journal Sentinel article was that that evening that they went out, Cade was with some friends and they were pre-drinking in a dorm room. And apparently, according to the kids, Cade said, "I want to get a perk," which is a Percocet. "I'm going to text Mike." So apparently he did text Mike because then they went to this Axel's bar before their plan was to go to Club Miramar that night to go to the, like I said, that music and it's college night. And so they went to this Axel's across the street, and then his friend saw him texting with Mike, and then Mike shows up outside of the bar, and Cade ran outside to meet with them. And his friend saw him shake hands with him. They didn't see the actual exchange of anything, but they saw him shake hands. And then they went into Club Miramar, and apparently, Michael was not allowed to come in. I don't know why.
Meaning the son of Judge Doro.
Yeah, Michael Doro, yeah. So he was not allowed into the bar. But Cade and his friends went in. And then my ex-husband and my son and I, a couple days after Cade had passed, when we went to go clear out his dorm room, we went to Club Miramar, and we were able to talk to the owner. And, we were trying to find the video from inside that night to see what happened because he told me that, he told us that the bouncer walked into the bathroom and saw Cade consuming the pill. So Cade was asked to leave. It makes sense. And, Michael tried to create a narrative with some other friends the next day saying, Cade brought the pills back from Madison and he tried to sell them to me. But that doesn't make any sense because if he had it earlier in the day, why would he have waited till he was in the club to take it? It just didn't make any sense. And then why would he be saying that he was going to text Michael to get this pill if he...
News and talk. Up, down, and all around the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media.
ABC News, I'm Jim Ryan. The Federal Reserve is set to kick off its two-day policy meeting today. It's expected to raise interest rates again in another move to curb historic inflation. Analysts predict a 0.25% hike, the eighth increase in a row. Quick action against others believed to be involved in the Tyre Nichols deadly beating in Memphis More officers, EMTs, and fire officials either are fired or relieved of duty, on top of the five officers who were initially terminated and then criminally charged.
The Memphis Fire Department says two EMTs, Jamichael Sandridge and Robert Long, and their lieutenant, Michelle Whitaker, have been fired after failing to adequately assess Nichols on the scene after he was brutally beaten January 7th, dying 3 days later at the hospital.
That's ABC's Stephanie Ramos. Tens of millions of Americans in 30 states are on alert for cold, ice, and snow. Some areas are bracing for up to 3/4 of an inch of ice, fueling fears of power outages in vulnerable states. This is ABC News.
From Oshkosh to Green Bay and points north, wherever you are in the Fox Valley, count on us to keep you connected, informed, and entertained. Civic Media.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Matmere. Here's what you need to know. The new chair of Wisconsin's Republican Party is a fan of early voting. Brad Schimming tells Wisconsin Public Radio Republicans need to do things differently to win future elections in the state and is encouraging Republicans to vote early. Absentee voting has become commonplace since the COVID-19 pandemic. Republicans also say they need to do a better job at fundraising to compete with Democrats here. The GOP rewrote Wisconsin's campaign finance laws in 2015, allowing political parties to accept unlimited donations. Schimming says he does not see that going away. If you've got icy sidewalks, using salt isn't going to matter with temperatures below zero. The extreme cold makes it harder for salt to break down the water molecules in the ice. Too much ice melt is already impacting our waterways. Experts recommend chopping through the ice instead. I'm Jane Matnair for Civic Media News.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections, or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations, and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Max Inc. Radio, we are local music with Pete from the Skin Tones.
Here, you have been warned. Not only Madison, the rest of Wisconsin and the U.S., Skin Tones, we're coming at you. We're going to be committing rock atrocities. We're fit, we're in shape, we are tight, we are muscular, we are attractive for our ages, and we are sexy as hell.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the 1-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, text us at that same number. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mom of Cade Reddington, young man who lost his life, unfortunately, on November 4th due to a fentanyl overdose. And so you were saying, I'm sorry, Michelle, before we went to break, you were talking about the fact that you, your husband, and your son had just went to UWM to get all of his belongings.
Yeah, so we gathered up his belongings, met with the police department, and then we went to lunch at Oakland Euros, and Club Miramar was right across the street. So we went over there to just see if we could find anybody to talk to, to see if there was a video, what they've got for video cameras and such. And so the owner was there, and so we went in to talk with him, and then what we were told is that their backup system for their outdoor cameras that night just happened to not be working.
But he did have video cameras from the inside. So we got to see Cade and his friends come in. So, I think they got there a little after 10, and then at about 10:35, Cade went into the bathroom where apparently the bouncer walked in on him when he was in the process of using his pill and asked him to leave. Then my understanding is Cade tried to get back in, but they wouldn't let him back in then. And so then he rented a scooter, clocked back into his dorm by 10:50, and he went and found a girl that he was friends with and told her that he took a perk and felt yucky. So then he went back to his dorm room and laid down on, I was told it was a beanbag chair. Apparently in the medical examiner it says a futon, but it's in the point. So he laid down, and the sweetmates thought he just, you know, went to sleep, but didn't realize that he was dying, and until it was too late. And by the time paramedics were called, they administered 5 rounds of Narcan, and they couldn't bring him back. He was pronounced dead in his dorm room in Sanford Hall.
Well, I mean, you probably relive that almost every day of your life.
Yeah, I dreamt about it again last night after Wisconsin Right Now posted his medical examiner's report on their website, and I had never read it before. So, yeah, that was haunting me last night.
You know, with all the things that you're dealing with, one of the conservative radio shows kind of trashed you and your son recently on the air. I'm sure you probably weren't ready for that. Let's talk a little bit about what it feels like to have people insensitive towards what you and your family have gone through because they want to make sure that a conservative person winds up on the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. I expected internet trolls that I've seen before calling people that die of drug overdoses or fentanyl poisoning junkies. And I expected some of that when I knew the story was coming out, but not to be slandered on a talk show. That was shocking. The morning that the article came out, a friend texted me and said, oh my gosh, Dan O'Donnell is talking about Cade right now. And I had never even heard of Dan O'Donnell. So then she said what station to listen to. So I tuned in. And I mean, it was shocking to hear him talking about my son who's passed on the radio. It was the furthest thing I ever expected to happen. And then creating this narrative that he didn't know, like, he didn't know our side of the story. He was just creating his own narrative about what he thinks happened without knowing the truth, and I was incredibly frustrated. So we have to go back to get a little bit more background on this. So in the Dan Bice story, it starts off with David, who's my ex-husband. His encounter with Jennifer Doro at Pedro's Mexican restaurant on Tuesday night, it was after the day after the there was a debate in Madison. And David wasn't involved with all these conversations, you know, and he didn't know about my letter that I had sent, except that I had told his new wife about it. So he didn't know that there was a Pints and Politics event going on that night.
So you sent a letter to a Judge Jennifer Doro, a letter that you apparently didn't get any response from.
Correct. Yeah. So I think it was even before the Daryl Brooks case started, I had called because I wanted to get her email address. So I called her courtroom to see if I can get it. And they said, oh, we don't give out that out. And they said, we can leave a message. And I said, okay, sure. And so I left a message and they said, what's it about? And I said, well, just tell her it's Cade Reddington's mom. I never got a return phone call. And then about a month later, then I just decided I'm going to just reach out. Like, this is a prominent family and they need to know what, like, and I had no, and at this time too, I had no idea that she was planning to run for Supreme Court. Like,
I'm not in Milwaukee. Well, there's talks over there about it. I knew nothing about it.
Right.
All I knew is she was just a circuit court judge. So, and that her husband used to do consulting for Homeland Security because I looked him up on LinkedIn. So I'm like, this is a prominent family. They need to know what their son's relationship was with my son. So I gathered up all the evidence that I had, and I really wrote it like a victim impact statement. And just talking about how, you know, their son was one of the last people to see Kate alive. I have a Snapchat with them at 9 o'clock that night. I know he was one of the last people to communicate with them. And yet he hired an attorney and is refusing to be interviewed by the police. And I have this picture that Michael posted on this VSCO social media account of a picture of him and Cade. And he said, I miss you every day. But then he took it down a couple of days later. I put that picture in there. I'm like, why is somebody who's claiming to be his friend refusing to be interviewed by the police? And I just said, you know what? If all I'm asking is for Michael to be interviewed by the police and tell the truth. And if he didn't do it, he doesn't have any, if he didn't sell him the pill, he doesn't have anything to worry about. And if he did, I'm sure you can strike an immunity deal and have him turn in the higher drug dealers. So, I'm sure Michael's a small piece of the puzzle.
So for the sake of clarity, again, there are allegations. None of this has been substantiated. The other part of this is also that Michael Darrow was not a student at UWM.
Right. Yep. He was not a student, but he was using what the kid. Well, this is again allegedly, but the kids told me that he was using a fake ID to get into the dorms. And hanging out in the dorms. So that was how Cade and his friends met him, because I believe he went to Marquette High School. So I'm sure he had a bunch of friends that were in the dorms, too. So he was down there hanging out. I don't know what he was doing for a job.
Okay.
And
So we'll go back. You certainly wrote this letter. Your ex-husband saw Judge Darrow at an event and asked to speak to her. I guess let's fast forward to that.
So anyways, yep, the letter got sent before she even announced she was running for Supreme Court. So then I just want to clarify this. Once I couldn't believe it then when she announced she was running, my head spun. I was like, are you kidding me? Like, she knows this about her son, and someone's paying for an attorney to protect him. He hired an attorney and is refusing to talk to the police, and I was dumbfounded that she was running. So I thought, well, maybe her husband didn't share the letter with her. So I sent another letter to the courtroom, just appealing to her as mom to mom, saying, look, at, you know, maybe your husband didn't share this letter with you, but as another mom, like, I'm sure you can understand what I'm going through. And I want your help in getting some justice here. So anyways, that went
nowhere,
unanswered as well. So then what happened? So David, who's kind of been out of the loop on all this, he just happens to be at Pedro's, and I know he was not set up to be there. He knew nothing about it. I was at the Badger basketball game, and I get a phone call from David, and he never calls me. So I was freaking out that maybe there was something wrong with our other son. So I'm shaking. I'm like, why is David Reddington calling me? And so I texted him. I'm like, I'm at the Badger game. Is everything okay? And he said, I'm at Pedro's and Jennifer Darrow is here. Did you send a letter to them? So I showed my friends. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to go call him. So I called him. So I forwarded him the letter and the picture flyer that I put together of all my evidence. And I said, oh my gosh, well, you should talk to her. And he said, oh, I'm going to.
David being your ex-husband.
David's my ex-husband, yes.
Go ahead.
So then somebody at the registration table gave him a name tag so that he could, like, then come into the event. But this wasn't until after he, like, just came upon it. He didn't sign up to go to the event. He didn't go there because of the event. He went there to go have dinner with another couple. So anyways, I think he was waiting for her to clear out. And then he went up to talk to her, and he's from Waukesha originally. So I guess he was making small talk with her. And then she's like, oh, I got to go. And he said, well, wait, before you go, I want you to know who I am. David Reddington. I'm Kate Reddington's father. And then she said, we're not talking about this. And she turned her back and left. And apparently he said, well, wait a second. Your son knew my son. And I guess he walked out to the car trying to talk to her, but she wouldn't engage in conversation with him.
You know, that clearly there have been questions. Dan Bice, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, kind of exposed this story. I don't know. It was late last week, and part of what he said was that, you know, in response to a lot of these things, Judge Darrow has said, her son is not running for Supreme Court. So, in essence, why are you bothering me with this? You know, I'm the person running for Supreme Court. My son is not. So she couldn't understand, in words, she couldn't understand why this is an issue.
Yeah, and, you know, it's part
your
of the
thoughts
story,
your thoughts
too,
on that. Your thoughts on that, on
well,
that.
Well, and this was told to me before she was running for Supreme Court. So this is about being a parent. She apparently, the kids saw 2 weeks before Cade died that she had sent a text message to her son that said, are you still dealing drugs? And he posted a screenshot of that on his private Snapchat story. And, you know, and there's talk about, well, what, you know, Dan Bice didn't produce that. Well, it was a Snapchat story. It goes away within 24 hours. But at least two of the kids that I know saw that. They had no reason to make that
but
up.
But again, these things are allegations. These things are all allegations. And
yes.
So
these are allegations.
Yeah, they haven't been corroborated.
But again,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes. But those kids, they first told that story to the police, to me, you know, months ago. Well before she was running for office. This is not political. The kids were just talking about what they saw. There would have been no reason for them to make that up. So I guess what my concern is that here's somebody who knew that her son was dealing drugs. Brian, her husband, you know, was an ex-cop and worked for Homeland Security. He knew about the fake pills. So they knew their son was dealing drugs. They knew about fake pills and the opportunity that you can die from one pill. And he was still out there dealing drugs. And then now my son is dead, and somebody's hired an attorney. I don't know if Michael can afford his own attorney or who's paying for the attorney. So I guess those are just questions that I would like to have answered, and I want the truth.
So our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. My guest is Michelle Coleman, and she is the mom of Cade Reddington, the young man who unfortunately lost his life through fentanyl poisoning on November 4th of last year. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. 540 AM WAUK. We'll be right back.
You wanted information as election results rolled in, and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys, and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
Maintenance experience? Take it to PepsiCo of Oshkosh. PepsiCo invites you to its job fair Wednesday, February 1st, 8 to noon, Thursday, February 2nd, 1 to 5 at the PepsiCo plant, 2541 West 20th Avenue in Oshkosh. Information at PepsiCoJobs.com.
Here's your updated forecast. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. this morning. Sunny skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 9 above. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows dip down to about 3 above tonight. Partly cloudy skies. A blend of clouds and sun again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 21. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 5 below.
Local radio for your community. Civic Media, broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. My guest is Michelle Coleman. She is the mother of Cade Reddington, again, a young man who lost his life, unfortunately, way too soon on November 4th from fentanyl poisoning. And so as we start winding down on all of this, you know, you have, what do you want the listening audience, as they are from across the state of Wisconsin who are listening to this, what do you want them to get out of your story and Cade's story?
Well, my platform since the very beginning has been about building awareness of this fentanyl crisis and how it can happen to any family. And it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is. This is touching everybody. This is a scourge on our society, and we're losing tens of thousands of people every single year to this. And I feel that we need all of our elected officials to understand the severity of this crisis and to be presenting solutions. So I guess the frustration with, you know, this whole situation is that here we have somebody running for Wisconsin Supreme Court who's not willing to address this and answer these questions about her son's potential involvement in that, or even to say, you know, he has nothing to do with this, and this is all wrong, and this is why I've talked to him, and this is what I know. But we're not getting any of that. We're just getting silence on it. So I guess, how are we going to fix this problem if we have our elected officials that aren't willing to talk about it?
You know, I think that there's no question that you deserve answers to these questions. I remember talking to you on yesterday, and you couldn't get law enforcement to delve into this, so you kind of did it on your own.
Well, I'm not saying that they're not. They are. It's just not moving as quickly as I would like it to. So, and again, I got inspired by seeing another dad who solved his own son's case. So I just decided I needed to do a lot more of my own homework on this.
So if you had Judge Durrell in front of you right now, again, not Judge Durrell, but mom to mom, her son is about the same age as what your son was. What would you ask of her?
I would ask her and say, I would like you to convince your son to go and have an interview with the police and just tell the truth. The truth is the only thing that's going to set that man free now. he, you know, why not just get this done with, figure out what your consequences are going to be, or tell the truth. If he didn't sell it to him and he knows somebody who did, then we want to hear the truth. I want the truth of what happened.
You know, as a person coming from the city of Milwaukee, where there are many moms whose children have been murdered, and you always hear the moms say, we want to know the truth. Why is that so important?
Just to understand, I guess, you know, for some sense of solace and justice and being able to move forward in our grieving process. Like, just to know why, what, why are people doing this? Why are these drug dealers trying to kill our kids? I know why it is, because it's all about addiction. But I think it's so important just for parents to just to understand, to have, to give some sense of peace of, you know, what was the cause of your child's death?
So what would you say to people who are listening now, who are saying, why are you doing this now, Judge? Judge Darrell is a candidate for the state Supreme Court, and you are interfering with her opportunity to win that seat. Because there are people out here who actually think that way. I don't. You know, it's ridiculous to me to think that there are people who will put aside the tragedy of your son and ignore that because they want to make sure that a conservative. Another conservative winds up on the state Supreme Court and that they can keep their majority.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just have to tell you, like, I didn't do anything. The circumstances led us to this. The timing just all worked out here. So I wrote the letters. She decided to run for Supreme Court. Somebody leaked this because I had told friends and, you know, other moms that who lost their kids to fentanyl that talk about their kids' cases. I told people what was going on with my son's case. So somebody leaked it to Dan Bias because they thought it should get out there. We didn't come out with this. Somebody else did because they thought it was important. And now we're just answering the questions. So I didn't do anything to make this happen right now. Somebody else did because they thought it was important.
You know, there's no question that it's important. And for people who, you know, may think that it's not, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. We'll certainly talk about it on the other side. What do you want to say as we get ready to wrap this conversation up to those in the listening audience?
I think it's really important to, like I said, just be aware, talk to every adolescent that you know about the scourge of fentanyl and how it is in every single street drug right now, and that really starting to use any type of drugs is pretty much a death sentence because you are either going to get addicted or you could die from first-time use. I mean, there's so many kids' stories that I'm hearing that take half of a pill and they end up dead. So this is a huge crisis that our country is in, and we are losing so many beautiful young lives, and so many families are being destroyed because of this.
And where can people reach you if they want to, your website and all those things?
Yeah, well, I created a website in CAIDS Honor. It's called CAIDSLight.org. There's a way you can reach out to me there. So it's got, you know, information about CAID and about the fentanyl crisis. There's a lot of resources on there as well.
Thank you.
And all the advocacy work, too.
Thank you very much from the depths of our heart. Our hearts go out to you and your loved one and your family. And remain strong and resolved, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. That is Ms. Michelle Coleman. Mm-hmm. When we come back, our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What say you? We'll be right back.
You are listening. You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.